This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Executive Digital Director, West Coast.
Hello, Katie. How are you?
I'm great. How about you, Keith?
I am all right. Yep, I'm all right.
No more to say than that.
For the first time after 4 weeks, we don't have some gargantuan new apologies to albums that came out last Friday, but we don't have something that seems like a guaranteed lock for number one with some blockbuster insane number as we've had for the past 4 weeks running.
I think everyone is expecting with the sleepy holiday 3-day weekend that we just needed to all have 3 days so we could listen to the albums that came out over the last month.
Maybe that's what it really was. Maybe people avoid, much like Christmas, Christmas is a whole nother beast, but maybe people avoid dropping an album on a Friday before a long holiday weekend because they know that people are going to be distracted. They're not going to focus on new music. They're super busy. And if they're doing anything, they're going to a barbecue, the beach, or the movies,
they're
or hanging out with
the
their
grid.
Family. They're off the grid.
As somebody who watches website traffic for a living, things were real quiet on Friday, just FYI.
Also, maybe the artists that put out albums don't want to work on a holiday weekend either.
Yeah, like doing promo and going on shows and stuff on the weekend. No, they also would like to barbecue at the beach.
Okay. Did we finish the intro?
Nope, we haven't even started it.
Did you say who you were?
I said who I am. You said who
are.
But what's the Pop Shop, Keith?
Well, thanks for clicking play on this and subscribing, hopefully, because as always, the Billboard Pop Shop podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion, sometimes really quick into the show, about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Boom. Today on the show, we've got chart news on how Harry Styles lands his third straight number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart with Harry's House. And he does so with an explosive first week, more than 500,000 equivalent album units earned in the U.S. Plus, 3 of the album's songs debut in the top 10 on the Hot 100, while its lead single, As It Was, returns to number one.
Also on the show, we have founding Pop Shop podcast co-host Jason Lipschitz joining us to discuss some early Song of the Summer predictions. Billboard Song of the Summer chart isn't back just yet, but with the release of Calvin Harris's very sunshiny jam Potion with Dua Lipa and Young Thug, and Jason's annual Way Too Early predictions back in March, it's time to check in on early summer jam contenders, so stick around for that. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, just subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
Wouldn't be the Pop Shop unless we had Jason come back to talk about Song of the Summer.
I think it's a summer requirement at this point.
Sure.
And expect him to come talk about it once we declare a winner, too, at the end of the summer.
We still have yet to get Song of the Fall, Song of the Winter, Song of the Spring. Song of the Spring even has the alliteration going
for
it.
No one wants that, Keith.
No one wants those things, and I don't know why. Why do we pick summer to have a song of?
I feel like Taylor Swift had the album of the autumn with Folklore.
All right. You over there, stop that. All right. Let's do the chart chat. First up, Harry Styles' album, Harry's House, debuts atop the Billboard 200 albums chart with a massive 521,500 equivalent album units earned in the U.S. in the week ending May 26th, according to Luminate. The set was released on May 20th. Harry's House scores the largest week of 2022 for any album. You may have heard us say that, I don't know, three times.
A few weeks in a row.
Yeah. Largest week of 2022 for any album, and only the fourth album in the last 18 months to earn at least a 500,000 units in a single week. It logs the biggest week for any album since Adele's 30 debuted with 839,000 units in the week ending November 25th, 2021. Fun fact, Harry and Adele are both on the same label, Columbia Records.
Label mates so, and countrymen.
True. So basically a trick is you have to be British and signed to Columbia Records in America.
That's all you have to do to sell over 500,000 copies of your album. That's it.
Can we think of any other British artists that are on Columbia Records?
No.
Isn't Pink Floyd still on Columbia?
I don't know.
You don't? No. Are you executive editor, digital editor, West Coast? Come
yes,
on.
Yes, but not of our Billboard.biz coverage. Thank you.
Where's Colin when you need him? All right. Harry's House is Styles' third number one on the Billboard 200, the entirety of his solo releases, and all three have bowed at number one. He also topped the list with 2019's Fine Line and his 2017 self-titled debut. Harry's House also logs a modern era record for single week vinyl album sales, as it sold 182,000 copies on vinyl. That's more than a third of the album's total units for the week.
So that helped to have that concurrent vinyl release, as we've spoken about previously.
Yes, it's about two-thirds of its overall total album sales number this week, because it sold, like, I think it was like 300-something thousand.
This does not surprise me, just thinking of how vinyl has gotten so popular, and then also thinking that, like, Harry Styles and his fans are the perfect candidates for owning vinyl and being into the vinyl revival. So it just makes all the sense in the world.
Also, Fine Line was the top-selling vinyl album in the U.S. in 2020, and it was among the top 10 sellers in 2021.
There you go.
So he had a built-in fan base that had already got accustomed to the vinyl resurgence and loved having him on vinyl. And so it was natural fit that his vinyl week, his vinyl sales would be large, much in the same way Taylor has gotten her fans used to the idea. And so now they're looking forward to it. And
yeah,
if you can time it right and get the vinyl to drop in the same week as your wide release, you can have a really big number. But
and if you don't time it
off
right, you can have another week at number one down the road once the vinyl comes out.
Hey, Tyler, the Creator. Or, you know, let's say Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar's album came out only on streaming services. The his most recent album, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, it came out only digitally and on streamers. Digitally, in terms of how you can purchase it as a digital album. The CD didn't drop until last Friday, the 27th, and the vinyl, I'm assuming, is going to come out sometime later this year.
Oh, so that'll
really
be interesting
know
to see, too.
Yeah, it could go back to number one. Yep. Who knows? All right, well, the previous largest week for a vinyl album in the modern era since Luminate began tracking
Taylor
sales
Swift
in 1991
is my guess.
Is Taylor Swift. Can't really be much of a guess considering it's written on the script in front of you.
I wasn't reading ahead, though. I literally knew that one.
When her Red, Taylor's version, sold 114,000 copies on vinyl in the week ending November 18th, 2021. The vinyl sales for Harry's House were so large that just vinyl sales alone would have made the album number one, not just in this week, because it could have just sold only vinyl and it would have been number one on the Billboard 200 this week alone, because it was just that much bigger than the number two album. But it also would have been number one on the Billboard 200 in all but 3 weeks of 2022 so far.
Wow.
And in fact, those 3 weeks were the last 3 weeks before this one, when Kendrick, Bad Bunny, and Future were all number one.
Dang.
Harry's House was preceded, of course, by the number one Billboard Hot 100 hit As It Was, which returns to the top of the list this week, scoring its fourth non-consecutive week in the lead. Further, Styles sees three more songs from the album debut in the top 10. Late Night Talking at number 4, Music for a Sushi Restaurant at number 8, and Matilda at number 9. Katie, now that we've had like a week or so to live inside Harry's House, Do you have any sort of faves, any standout tracks that are really notable to you?
Well, I actually said on last week's show that my favorite on the album is Music for a Sushi Restaurant. So I was thrilled to see that that was among the top 10 debuts.
Clearly, it's someone else's fave, too.
Agreed. It also is the first song on the album. So if you're giving the album a curiosity listen, it's you're going to click in, I'm imagining. So there's that. But it also, to me, is an excellent. This is the Peter Gabriel sounding one. I also really loved this past week, James Corden did a music video for Harry's song Daylight from the album. First of all, it's a great song, but I feel like I wasn't really paying attention to it in the context of the full album until the James Corden bit, because then you kind of listen to it over and over again because they were making the video, you know, in the bit. And it's such a good song. So that one's been running in my head all weekend. But I continue to just love it.
Well, Styles ushered in the album with interviews and or performances on Apple Music with Zane Lowe, SiriusXM's The Howard Stern Show, NBC's Today, and NPR's Morning Edition. Apple Music also live streamed Styles' One Night Only in New York concert from UBS Arena on May 20th. We actually had someone in the building there from Billboard. Rania was there.
Rania covered it. We also had Danielle Pascal there covering it for social. We also had senior editor Anna Chan there. Just enjoying the concert.
Just hanging out. Not mentioned in that batch of press was the James Corden appearance that Katie mentioned, because that was on the final. It actually aired very, very late Thursday night.
I'm actually curious what's going to happen with Daylight next week, because they created a real deal music video linked to the song that will, you know, affect our charts next week.
I assume that the video has been categorized as an official music video with YouTube, and if it is, then those streams would be pointing towards the song and the album.
I make that assumption because the whole like bit of filming the video, like the skit of it all, that was on James Corden's page, but the video, the final product, is on Harry's page. So
That kind of tells you everything you need to know. Next up, staying with Styles, Katie, did you know that Music for a Sushi Restaurant is not only the first top 10 song on the Hot 100 to use the word sushi in its title, but the first ever song to chart on the Hot 100 with sushi in its title?
Clearly, my brain has been trained to think in Billboard language, because that was my first thought this morning was, I wonder if there are any other songs with sushi in the title in the Hot 100.
Great minds think alike.
I guess so.
All right. Well, lastly, we've got a legends only tidbit. As Diana Ross's new single, Turn Up the Sunshine, featuring Tame Impala, debuts at number 24 on the Adult Contemporary Airplay chart, giving the Supreme Diva her first hit on any Billboard Airplay chart since 2006, and her first as a lead artist since 1999.
Love it.
Turn Up the Sunshine is from the upcoming animated film Minions, The Rise of Gru, which will be released in the United States on July 1st. Katie, you've heard this song, right?
Yes.
You like it?
Yeah. I think it's super fun and cool and very clearly Diana Ross, but also very super modern. I love it. I think it's great.
Well, Turn Up the Sunshine is Ross's 30th hit on the Adult Contemporary chart as a solo artist. She, of course, became familiar worldwide, first as a member of the trailblazing girl group The Supremes, who made their Billboard chart debut 60 years ago this year. Hey, what a coincidence.
Love that.
Ross was last on the Airplay charts in any capacity through her featured role on Rod Stewart's I've Got a Crush on You, which spent 11 weeks on the Adult Contemporary chart in late 2005 and early 2006. Ross's last hit as a lead artist on any Billboard Airplay chart was with the track called Sugar Free, which spent 2 weeks on the Adult R&B Airplay chart in August of 1999. Sunshine is a new track written by Jack Antonoff, Sam Dew, Patrick Berger, and Kevin Parker. Kevin Parker is effectively Tame Impala.
Yeah.
The track list of the Rise of Gru soundtrack is just bonkers.
These Despicable Me movies always have amazing soundtracks, wildly good.
This, this, I, I don't know if Katie's already seen it, so I may be telling her stuff that she already knows. But the track list is crazy. It's full of 1970s hits covered by contemporary artists. For example, Her covers Sly and the Family Stone's Dance to the Music. Thundercat covers Steve Miller Band's Fly Like an Eagle. St. Vincent covers Lips Inc.'s Funky Town. And Brittany Howard covers Earth, Wind & Fire's Shining Star with an assist from Earth, Wind & Fire's own Verdeen White.
Love it.
So, yeah, I'm clearly living for that. That was almost like a chart set of the week in itself. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, super exciting to see Diana Ross back on the charts. And, oh, fun fact, she debuts this week on the Adult Contemporary chart the same week that Elton John and Dua Lipa go back to number one with Cold Heart on the same chart.
Legends only, legends, as Keith said.
Legends only.
Okay, well, moving along, back in 2018, Calvin Harris and Dua Lipa made musical magic with their collab One Kiss, and now they are back with Potion featuring Young Thug, which will appear on Harris's upcoming Funk Wave Bounces Volume 2 album. So let's take a little listen to the song to start.
Late night conversations, electric emotions, sprinkled with a little bit of sex, and it's a potion, yeah.
Okay, so of course Keith and I are certified Dua Lipa fans, but I mean, we went to the concert. We've been talking to her for 5-6 years at this point. I am especially loving this one, Keith. Keith, do you have any thoughts? Have you listened to it already?
Yeah, I have.
So I should start with that.
It's very vibey. It's very vibey.
It is. I think that's what Calvin goes for with the Funk Wave Bounces songs. The first album included Slide with Frank Ocean and, man, was it Quavo? And then also had Feels with Katy Perry. I mean, these are just like star-studded, super fun, upbeat albums. And Potion, of course, has very strong summery vibes, which got us thinking about how this year's Song of the Summer race is upon us. And Billboard is about to launch our annual Song of the Summer chart, which tracks the most popular songs from about June until Labor Day-ish. And we're wondering if Potion could be a contender for the Song of the Summer. So we thought we would call up Original Pop Shop podcast host Jason Lipschitz, who always watches the Song of the Summer race very closely. And he even wrote up his very early picks for the crown back in March, exactly 2 months ago, actually. So we thought we'd call him up to revisit those predictions and also talk about any other songs that have emerged as possible contenders in the months since. So let's take a listen to our chat with Jason.
When I met you in the summer,
to Jason Lipschitz, and welcome back to your home, the Pop Shop podcast.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course. You know, the invitation's just always standing. You can just hop on whenever. But we specifically have you today because we're going to talk about the Song of the Summer for 2022. And what got us thinking about this was the new Calvin Harris and Dua Lipa song, Potion, featuring Young Thug. Jason, have you listened to this one, and what are your thoughts?
I have listened to it. And I really like it. It's grown on me in the last few days. When it came out, I think I was stuck on the fact that I was comparing it to some of my favorite songs on Funk Wave Bounces Volume 1, one of my favorite albums of 2017. Obviously, you have songs like Slide and Feels, which I absolutely loved then. I love now. I don't know if Potion is on that level, but it's a great summer song. I mean, every time Dua Lipa does one of these kind of overqualified hook singer songs, giving an assist here to Calvin Harris and Young Thug, I mean, it comes out pretty spectacularly. It's also hard because I love her first collaboration with Calvin Harris, One Kiss. And again, even if it's not quite on that level, I think it's going to grow on me. And I think it's definitely going to be a summer song contender.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, Keith, we don't know where this is debuting on the Hot 100 yet next week. That's really going to determine whether it's a contender, I would say, right?
Well, yeah, in order for you to be Song of the Summer, according to Billboard, you have to actually just first chart on the Hot 100 chart, because the Song of the Summer chart is basically just a compilation of how you've done on the Hot 100 chart. So you have to get on that Hot 100 first. I love Jason saying overqualified hook singer. It's like, we need someone to sing the hook. I don't know. What's Dua Lipa doing? She's way overqualified for this gig. Yeah, but she's Dua. It's like, yeah, we made such magic before with One Kiss. Like, I don't know. Maybe pick someone else so no one's comparing this to One Kiss. That's just my quick thought.
But then it wouldn't be as good.
But then you wouldn't have the, is this One Kiss? Like, is this as beautiful as One Kiss? I think this is what Jason was hinting at without really kind of saying it explicitly. I think that's the problem. Whenever you have someone like reunite for another collaboration, you immediately compare it to what they've done previously, no matter who you are.
Well, the interesting thing to me is that if you look at Dua's career between albums 1 and 2, she had those collaborations that really helped her level up, like One Kiss and Electricity.
Yeah.
It kind of set the stage for future nostalgia. Now she's doing it a little bit with Potion and a couple months ago with Sweet as Pie with Megan Thee Stallion. So, you know, these collaborations have proven really fruitful for her. None of them have been like enormous hits in the US. But this one could get there as well.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that One Kiss only peaked at number 26 on the Hot 100. So even though we have very fond memories of it, it wasn't a massive hit and wouldn't have been a, you know, Song of the Summer contender back then. But let's talk about some other things that Jason wrote about back in March. He did his way too early predictions for Song of the Summer. And let's see, starting with his front runners, we're 2 months later from this interview or from this original article. But I feel like this one is a decent pick. We have starting with Doja Cat, Woman. And it feels like if not Woman, just betting on Doja Cat and a song from Planet Her feels like a smart move for the potential winner too.
Yeah, kind of zooming out, and it's been interesting because I think Woman and some of the other songs on my list from March would have been bigger hits if just there was less music that was released over the past month. Like if you just look at everything that's come out over the past month, literally that's all it's been. It's just like a Harry Styles album, a Bad Bunny album, a Kendrick Lamar album, a Future album, a Jack Harlow album. And it's been just this tsunami of new music where something like Woman gets washed away, because even though I hear Woman a lot on the radio still, but it just kind of, from a charts perspective, it's hard to kind of compete with like all of these enormous new songs. So yeah, I mean, I think even if like half of the new music that has come out over the past month didn't come out, I think Woman is one of the biggest songs of the summer. It's still a pretty big hit, but it's just not on the level that I thought it was going.
Okay, let me rattle off your other front runners before we talk about that last month of torrential downpour of music. Because we also had Lotto, Big Energy, Fireboy DML featuring Ed Sheeran with Peru, Imagine Dragons featuring JID Enemy, Becky G and Carol G with Mommy, Junior Choi and Sam Tompkins with To the Moon. Okay, out of all the things I just said, Jason, is there anything you still want to call a front runner?
You know, the one of the front runners that may not be Song of the Summer, but that Imagine Dragons JID song Enemy, like that's still a really big hit. And I think it's going to be all over alternative radio for a long time, which is kind of what I expect. Maybe not seeing it as like a number one smash, but like, you know, like the biggest Imagine Dragons songs, just hanging out in the top 40 for a long time, just kind of inescapable if you're listening to rock radio. And I feel like that's kind of turned out to be true, even if it's not in the top 10 anymore.
It's this year's Heat Waves.
Well,
kinda, yeah.
Jason actually included Heat Waves just to be safe, because who knows, you know, when that was going to end back in March.
Did Jason put Levitating and Blinding Lights in there too, just for the heck of it? No. Okay.
If you guys told me, if we're sitting here in like a week or two and there was like a new TikTok challenge that was about Heat Waves and like related to how hot it is outside in the summer months and all that, and the song like Zoom Back to near number one, like I wouldn't be shocked. Who knows? Right. That song is like unkillable. It's enormous.
And I think in your to be determined section, you made some good predictions too. You noted that Harry Styles was on the horizon and here he is. Lizzo had not yet released About Damn Time, which speaking of TikTok is having that moment right now. You mentioned Nicki Minaj, Lil Nas X, Cardi B. Those have not arrived yet. And another one that hasn't arrived yet that we can never count out is BTS, who has their anthology album coming out in June, and which has some new songs. So talk to me, Jason. Do you think that they're going to have a repeat of last summer's Song of the Summer Championship?
Oh, yeah. I mean, to me, if I were betting on the Song of the Summer, I think it's going to be between As It Was by Harry Styles, which obviously is benefiting from all the new streams to Harry's House. And it's still like, it still feels like that there's room to grow for As It Was, just in terms of how enormous it's become on radio. And there's just so much enthusiasm around what Harry's doing. I would have it between As It Was and BTS single TBD.
TBD.
Like, you know, it's just, if BTS releases a new single in the next week or two, it could dominate June, July, August, sort of like Butter did last year. And, you know, once again, be Song of the Summer for BTS.
Okay. We've said a lot of names. Keith, is there anybody else that you had burning questions about? Or do you, Jason, is there any names that we have not said that we should be paying attention to over these next few months and weeks?
Ooh, hey, Jason, what do you think of the very appropriately summery Turn Up the Sunshine that we just talked about? Katie and I did a moment ago from Diana Ross featuring Tame Impala.
Listen, nothing says Song of the Summer 2022 like Diana Ross and Tame Impala.
So I think.
No, I'm being a little facetious. But yeah, I mean, it's a fun song. And look, you have these, as we've seen from Happy by Pharrell, can't count out that Despicable Me Minions franchise popularity. So you never know whether that or something else from the Minions 2 soundtrack really takes off. Some big names involved. Yeah, I mean, I also am keeping an eye on the Jack Harlow project as a whole. Obviously, First Class has been his first solo number one hit. I think the song Dua Lipa, we're talking about Dua Lipa, I think the song Dua Lipa is kind of like a smash in the making. That song's really, really catchy. So,
and then they can release the remix featuring Dua Lipa and then set the summer on fire.
Exactly, Katie. And then look, I mentioned quickly Bad Bunny, but those songs, it's been a couple weeks since that album came out. Those songs are not going anywhere. So, you know, I think instead of having these kind of big flashpoint singles for the Song of the Summer, you're going to have these big albums like Bad Bunny, Harry, Jack, and just singles spinning off of them, because they all have kind of been primed to dominate June, July, and August.
And Bad Bunny put the word summer, but in Espanol, right there in the title of his album. So yes, that makes all the sense in the world. Well, Jason, thank you so much as always. I feel like this has become a tradition. I think we spoke with you last year about the Song of the Summer predictions too. So I think we've officially started the Pop Shop tradition of having you on to talk summer. So we'll talk to you again in June, 2023. Sound good?
Sounds fantastic. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Thanks, Jason. Don't tell your mother. Kiss one another. Die for each other. We're cool for the summer. Thank you, as always, to Jason for coming back home. We appreciate you.
All right. Well, now it's time for the chart stat of the week. Well, in light of Diana Ross's return to the Airplay charts this week, we're going to do a little quiz, Katie, on her girl group knowledge. Katie, did you know that the Supremes were the first all-female group to have a number one album on the Billboard 200 chart?
I did not know that.
The act notched a trio of number one albums, first with 1966's The Supremes' A Go-Go, then with 1967's Diana Ross and the Supremes' Greatest Hits, and lastly, with 1969's TCB TV soundtrack, which was a collaborative effort with fellow Motown act The Temptations. It was a big TV special at the time that had The Temptations and the Supremes together, which was pretty momentous to have them together on the same show.
Yeah.
In fact, the Supremes were the only all-female group to have a number one album on the Billboard 200 until the 1980s. Can you, Katie, guess what was the second all-female act to have a number one album on the Billboard 200 chart?
Well, my first question is, has a fraction of this group appeared on the Pop Shop podcast previously? Because my guess is the Go-Go's.
You are correct. It is it is the Go-Go's with Beauty and the Beat in, I believe, 1982.
Awesome.
And you are correct. We've had a fraction of the group on.
Yeah, it was before the Billboard Music Awards, like the Saturday before, like a radio room thing. We had Charlotte Caffey and Gina Schock on to talk about the group's farewell tour that they were launching at that time.
Funny, I regaled them with a very long story about how my stepsister back a million years ago in the early 80s gave me a picture disc 7-inch single of the Go-Go's. And it was like the only vinyl single that I saved from all the vinyl singles that eventually I threw away, and I should have never thrown them away.
You wish you hadn't. Yeah.
And I told them about how big of a fan she was, blah, 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 and how they meant something. And they're like, okay, well, we have to take a picture now. I'm like, oh, I don't take pictures. And they're like, you're going to take a picture.
I took that picture.
So it's one of,
happily,
one of the few times I've ever taken like a picture with like a famous person.
I bet you're glad you did.
You always are.
That's cool.
You always are after the fact, but it always feels weird to kind of do it.
We try to keep it professional.
Like, we've never taken like we've been with Dua Lipa in person. Like, all the people that have ever come for the podcast ever. Like, I don't think we've ever.
I have like one example. The one example is 98 Degrees, who I loved in high school. And then they came in for an interview. And I think you insisted on taking a photo.
I think you may have taken a picture with Joey Fatone, maybe.
Tetris did. I took a picture of Tetris and Joey Fatone together. I don't think I took one of me, though.
Like, even like I, as a long time sort of friend of the podcast that Darren Criss has been, I have zero selfies with Darren Criss.
I wish I had taken one with Robbie Williams. You weren't there. You might have insisted on it.
That would have been amazing.
That was one of the great. I mean, same with John Mayer, who I've talked to a couple, gotten lucky enough to talk to a couple times now. Like, no photos with him, but like the conversations that I have with them are like way cooler mementos, in my opinion.
The one picture I have of me and Madonna, it was because Madonna asked if I wanted a picture.
Oh, my gosh. And the answer is always yes.
And I was absolutely.
Oh, I took a selfie with Luke Bryan at a concert once because he insisted on it.
You and I are so weird. We are not like normal people.
We are
people.
The weirdos, but we're also name dropping right now.
I mean, the only reason we're name dropping is because it's part of our job. But like, I don't think most people at Billboard have this like, oh, I don't do like selfies with people. I think most people that we work with are like, oh, hell yeah, I'm getting a picture
and
with
someone. I think that celebrities expect it and don't think any less of a journalist for asking at this point, because like it's happens all the time.
So this is clearly only Katie and Keith problems.
Our own neuroses. Yes,
it's absolutely our own weird neuroses. OK, well, there you have it. Chart stat of the week about girl groups at number one on the Billboard 200. By the way, there have been other girl groups since the Go-Go's that have been number one on the Billboard 200. Everyone from the Dixie Chicks and Destiny's Child to even Danity Kane. All right. We've reached the end of our big show. Any parting words, Katie?
Well, when Diana Ross asks you for a selfie, you better say yes to Keith.
I don't think that she would. She
I don't think she would either. But if she does, she's probably the one that would tell a journalist, no, aren't you a journalist?
Yeah, exactly. No, that's not your job. all right. So should we go out on a Diana Ross song?
Yes, obviously.
Which song?
Love Hangover.
Okay. Good solid pick. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They're also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.